As is the case every time we meet, we want to certainly welcome those of you who are visiting with us. Delighted to have you. It's good to see you back. Some of you are here for the very first time, and some have returned after being away for some time. And some are here because you've lost a family member, and that's a deep loss. We've come today to consider the relationship between tabernacle, temple, and music. I told you last week we were kind of finished with the tabernacle flow. You know, as I've been reading through Ezra and Nehemiah and in the study of 1st and 2nd Chronicles this semester, I'm seeing more and more of things that I've wondered about all my life. The idea of music and God's direction of music has just been something that's been fascinating to me all my life. And then some of you have been asking really good questions lately about, well, what about music? What about what God wants? What about music in the church? And so those are questions that almost everybody has on their mind. And practically every visitor, when they walk into our assembly, is looking around and noticing you don't have a piano, you don't have a band, you don't have an organ, you don't have any of those things. And that's just a glaring difference that just pops out. I mean, it's like this elephant that's in the room that we don't want to admit. We need to acknowledge that that's a real question. We need to go back and think about what does God say? And a lot of us just like a lot of different kinds of music and have played music all our lives and have enjoyed singing and performing in those regards. And so what does God have to say about this subject of music? And why don't y'all do that? Really good question. And when we're done today, there may be more questions. And you may want to say, well, Alan, I don't agree with you. And that's just fine too. But what we want to do is look at what God says and then look at this fascinating study of music from God's perspective, particularly focusing on music in the tabernacle and temple worship. So I hope that'll be beneficial to you. Thank all of you for coming, and thank you for giving us a card that gives us an opportunity to remember your name and to write and say thank you for being with us. We really appreciate the fact that you have come. I must confess to you, I'm having some vision issues today. Surely can't be old age. Surely couldn't be that I might need these bifocals or trifocals or whatever those things are. But we're going to do the best that we can to remember the material. If I can't read it all, you can. And hopefully we'll be able to see on the screen several of these points as well. So we're thinking about music God's way. And we've asked Elliot to read as he has in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. As we think about this picture, we go back to the book of Numbers in chapter 10. And we're getting ready to march. Numbers is a marching book. Jeff, I've got to remember what you called the book. It's not about counting so much as it's about an adventure. And now we've finally got the tabernacle ready. We've got the rules for the Levites, and we're ready to march. Well, how do we know when to march? Well, somebody needs to sound the alarm. You know, they didn't have an electrical buzzer. So somebody needs to sound the trumpets to say it's time to march. And that's one of the things that we're told here. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work, and you shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. So that's one purpose of those particular two silver trumpets. We're also going to notice in chapter 10, verses 8 and 10, that the sons of Aaron, the priests, are the ones who blow the trumpets. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they'll be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. One thing I want you to notice right up front is, do you notice right there in the middle of that sentence where it says, you blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings? Just kind of keep an eye on that burnt offerings and music combination as we walk through some other studies. So we've got these two trumpets, the only musical instruments that we read about being used in tabernacle worship. And all of these elements of the worship of the tabernacle, the musical instruments, as well as every other aspect, is regulated by divine command. You remember when we looked at, in our second lesson on the tabernacle, just as the Lord commanded? what was it, about 20 times in chapter 39 of Exodus? Just as the Lord commanded. Everything was regulated. Everything was written out just as the Lord directed, and they did as the Lord commanded. Now, we're not discussing in this discussion personal use of instruments prior to the tabernacle. We're looking at what God said as to worship in the tabernacle with music. But then we also notice that there's some changes that are going to happen about 400 years later. And now we're looking at temple worship in the days of David. There's going to be a big change that's going to take place regarding God's worship in the days of King David. You know, the Levites aren't any longer needed to transport the tabernacle. And so you can read about changes in 1 Chronicles 16 and 1 Chronicles 23. Notice there in 1 Chronicles 23, verses 25 and 26. The Lord God of Israel has given rest to the people that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also, Levites, they shall no longer carry the tabernacle or any of the articles for its service. Levites' job is done as far as hauling that tent around. They don't need to do that anymore. Now there's going to be a permanent dwelling place, and so they don't have all that transportation job. So what are these Levites going to do? I want to suggest to you, God's got plenty of work for the Levites to do, and He's going to express that through David. And so we might be asking some questions about why the change? Is this just David's personal preference? Is this just, well, you know, I think I'd like a little different kind of worship than what we've had in the past. Maybe it's desire to make it more festive or more appealing. Surely people would come if we had a good band. That's what a lot of folks are saying today. The key to getting people to come to your assemblies is have the best band in town. And you can find that going on very powerfully in the city of Nashville, Tennessee. Everybody's trying to get to be the big name, and they're all trying to get into churches to perform first so they get an audience. So maybe that was David's motive. Or was it that, you know, just culturally, people are now inclined to play lots more instruments than they ever played before? That might be it. You know, weren't a whole lot of instruments that we read about when we read in the book of Genesis. So maybe it's just more appealing to the culture of our day. But as we keep thinking about why the change, Hezekiah is going to tell us why, or at least the chronicler is going to tell us why. And Hezekiah, as you'll notice, Elliot, I sent you a later email asking you to read more. But I think when he saw all those priest names and all those long names, he said, nah, skip that. I don't think you even saw the later email. But as you go back to 2 Chronicles 28, you read about a guy named Ahaz. He's a really bad king. He does whatever he wants to do. He sets up idols for himself. He closes the gates of the temple, and he just basically shuts down temple worship. So now Hezekiah's son comes to be king at age 25. And he can either go back and say, hey, man, dad was doing whatever he wanted, however he wanted it, and everybody seemed to be rocking on. But what Hezekiah did is first order of business, as you'll notice in chapter 29, is he reopens the gates of the temple. And he calls for the Levites to come. And he calls for the priests to come and to purify the temple. And then he starts saying, well, now how does God want us to worship? And then he looks at, well, we need to offer sacrifices. And how does God want us to do these sacrifices? And notice the connection between sacrifices and the music. So he then stations the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with harps, and with lyres according to the command of David and of Gad the king's seer and of Nathan the prophet. For the command was from the Lord through his prophets. Oh, so it wasn't just David decided, hey, you know what? I want the big band sound. I want the double choir. I want the antiphonal singing. It wasn't that at all. In fact, God had now regulated through prophets exactly how the worship was to be carried out in the temple in regard to the offering of the sacrifice. And may I say it this way, the band was supposed to play while the sacrifice was being offered. And so as you keep reading through the Chronicles, you get lots more perspective in that regard. And so here's Hezekiah seeking to restore the worship. He has some questions that have to be answered. Does God want us to use instruments of music at all?
It's not tabernacle worship anymore. Maybe the trumpets are gone. If God wants us to use instruments, does he just say, well, just play what you want to play? Or does God say, no, here's what I want you to play, and here's who I want to play it, and here's where I want you to play them, and here's when I want you to play them? I'd like you to suggest to you that God answers all those questions. He says, who's to play, where to play, when to play, and what to play. Now, if you've just casually not read the Old Testament, you're going to miss that. And if you haven't spent much time in the Chronicles, you're going to miss that. And for years, I missed that. I just thought God put up with instruments of music in the Old Testament because he just tolerated it. That's not the case at all if you read your Bible. And so when we start looking at what's happening then, we're going to get a lot more information even from 2 Chronicles chapter 29. So the Levites are going to stand. Notice we're in the very next verse. The Levites stand with their musical instruments of David, and the priest, trumpets are still there. Now there are more of them as God directs through David. Hezekiah gave the order to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song to the Lord also began with the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. Do you see that connection? That the music played when the offering was being made. That's just exactly what we saw in Numbers chapter 10. That's what we saw with the trumpets sounding in tabernacle. Only now there are more instruments. They're the instruments of David. So now all the assembly worships, the singers sang, the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they'd finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshiped. See the tie. They're not doing just what they want to do. They're looking to the command which was from the Lord through his prophets. Remember? This was from Gad and Nathan and David, the prophet. For the command was from the Lord through his prophets. So the instruments began and ended with the sacrifice of the burnt offering. The instrumental music in the temple was tied to the sacrifices. Well, again, we want to know, where did this command originate? Did it just come from anybody? No, the command was from the Lord through his prophets. And here's the reason why these instruments of music were added to temple worship. It was the command of the Lord. David had no liberty to alter God's worship because of personal desire or musical inclination or preference. He had no authority to make any additions because he felt they would enhance the experience of worship or make it more joyful. Just as God had regulated the instruments used in the tabernacle through the prophet Moses, now God regulates the music in the temple through the prophet David, and of course Gad and Nathan. And so whenever God says to do something in worship, he tells us how, tells us when, and tells us where. And he did that in the tabernacle with those trumpets as he spoke through the prophet Moses. And now in temple worship, he's going to direct how that's to go through his prophet, we'll just say predominantly through David, but also Gad and Nathan. So what's included under this command of David? We can look some more as we go back to 1 Chronicles 16. We're going to notice some things about that. He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark. That's the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. This guy's name is going to show up almost all the time. Of all the choir directors, of all the song leaders. And he's a cymbal player. A lot of people can play cymbals, but he's a good one. And he's going to be the choir director. He's going to be the music director. In fact, you can read several psalms, starting in Psalm 73, that Asaph writes. He's a prophet because of his writing in the Psalms. We know that. And his name is going to show up for generations and generations and generations when it comes to the music. And so we hear Asaph, the chief, and second to him, Zechariah, with musical instruments, harps, lyres. Also, Asaph played loud-sounding cymbals. And can I just skip these guys? Benaiah, Jehaziel, the priest, blew trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relative to give thanks to the Lord. That's the focus, giving thanks to the Lord. And so we're going to learn a lot more about these folks as they lead in worship to God. The command of David was his appointment of some of the Levites as ministers to give thanks. And so we've got two different sets of instruments here. You know, maybe you're a trumpeter. I think some of you in the audience did play trumpet, if I remember correctly. Maybe you're a trumpet player. And there was a place for Levites who were trumpet players. But there was also a place for Levites who weren't trumpet players. And they played other instruments which God had designated. So the command of David was to continue in the worship within the temple. Notice, this is not just a one-time thing. I hope your outline says 1 Chronicles 23 here. 1 Chronicles 23. As you notice then in verses 1 through 5. Now when David reached old age, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. And he gathered together all the leaders of Israel with the priests and the Levites. And 4,000 were gatekeepers and 4,000 were praising the Lord with the instruments which David made for giving praise. 4,000 song singers among the Levites. Now there were Levites that had lots of different obligations, but 4,000 of them were especially responsible for the music in the temple. And this command for the Levites to use instruments of music in the temple was a part of God's directed plan. Again, for sake of time, would you look in 1 Chronicles 28? 1 Chronicles 28. Verse 11 is going to tell us, then David gave to his son Solomon the plan. And we don't have on the screen verse 12. The plan. Please understand that David didn't just dream this up. He said, you know, I think I'd like to do this. This was God's plan. May I say something that perhaps you've already learned? When God gives a plan, He doesn't give us the right to rewrite it, or to change it, or to redirect it. This was God's plan. This was the plan that God gave through David for the temple, for the construction of it, and for the worship within it. And so as we think about the plan for the porch, the buildings, also for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the utensils of service in the house of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord has made me understand in writing by His hand upon me all the details of this pattern. Now some of us will just say, well, you know, I'm not real good on following directions. I'm not real good on following patterns. You better get good if you want to please God. I don't mean that in any unkind way. God is in the details. And God expects us to follow His worship prescribed by detail. And if we're thinking that we can just do what we want to do because it pleases me, so therefore it's got to please God, that is not what happened in temple worship under the direction of David. The plan was from God, and David wrote it down and made sure Solomon got it. We will do well as parents and grandparents to not back away from the blueprint of God's plan. This divine inspiration then included the assignments for the Levites, including the use of musical instruments. A lot of people have taken a lot of grief for trying to follow those plans. A Presbyterian professor at Columbia University Theological Seminary commented on this particular point. And what Mr. Gerardo had to say about that back in the 1800s, I think I must have passed it. I'll just read it to you. When the temple was to be built, David received a divine revelation in regard to it, just as Moses had concerning the tabernacle with its ordinances. Instrumental music would not have been constituted an element in the temple worship had not God expressly authorized it by His command. And so what are some principles then that we can see? God's always regulated His worship. God has regulated specific instruments in worship. The command of David concerning worship included the introduction of Levitical singers, along with the trumpets of Moses and the instruments of David. And may I say, there is no indication of any additional instruments used in the temple throughout the Mosaic period. If there were additional instruments used, the scriptures say nothing about them. And may I caution us not to presume where God has not spoken. So please, be aware, be advised. And so as we continue then, the command of David is the precedent for all the efforts to restore temple worship. When we go back and look at what did God want, Solomon is going to say, what did my father say? What did God say through my father? And so in 2 Chronicles in chapter 8, and according to the order of David his father, he appointed the divisions of the priests for their service, the Levites for their duties to praise and serve before the priest as the duty of each day required, and the gatekeepers by their divisions at each gate, for so David the man of God had commanded. When Solomon looks back, he says, what did God command? What did the prophet David have to say on this subject? And why did Solomon authorize this activity? It's very clear, because that's the command of God. Note the pattern then of temple worship being restored over and over as men look back to the command of David. How should God be worshipped? Should singing and musical instruments be brought into the house of the Lord? If so, what instruments, when, how? All those things need to be asked every time. And so what I want to walk through with you quickly is some Old Testament survey. About 170 years after David, there's a priest. His wife is a really good woman who rescues one son. Athaliah is trying to kill all of the babies who are royal seed. She's trying to extinguish the seed of David. And Jehosheba rescues Joash. And Jehoiada is going to lead the people until Joash is old enough to sit on the throne. And notice in the time of Jehoiada, then he placed the oversight of the temple of the Lord in the hands of the priest, who were Levites, to whom David had made assignments in the temple to present the burnt offering of the Lord as written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing as David had ordered. You see, in regard to this burnt offering, there was rejoicing and there was singing that was to go along with that. And all of that was from the command of the Lord. And so Jehoiada, 170 years later, is going back to, what does God want? What did his prophets say? And then as we continue, we'll see that we had that in Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 29. But let's move on then. Let's look at about 300 years later. Let's look at about 380 years later now with Josiah. Josiah is looking back and he says, prepare yourselves according to your father's houses, according to your divisions, following the written instruction of David, king of Israel, and the written instruction of Solomon, his son, and the singers. There's the sons of Asaph were in their places, according to the command of David, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduth, and the king's seer. Let's go back and let's worship the way God's prophets said to worship, including the singing, as the sons of Asaph would lead. Let's go even farther. Let's go to the times in the book of Ezra, to Zerubbabel, the rebuilding of the temple about 550 years after David. Look in Ezra 3 verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinances of David, king of Israel. So here we are 550 years later. They come back, rebuild the temple. And saying, what do you want, God? How do you want us to worship? How do you want us to serve you? and you have the same thing that God had commanded through David. Let's go just a little bit farther, could we? About 600 years after David, let's go all the way to the time of Nehemiah. Some of us have just finished Nehemiah in our daily reading. The Levites are given assignments. And may I say to you, here is an exception to what we've observed thus far. In Nehemiah, there's not only the instruments being used in the temple. In Nehemiah, there's a very special day when the walls have been rebuilt and there's a dedication of the walls. And you're going to have two choirs, and it appears that they're singing antiphonally back and forth to each other on that day as God directs through His prophets. So Nehemiah is going to tell us about it. The heads of the Levites were Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brothers across from them, to praise and give thanks, group alternating with group, according to the command of David, man of God. Even with this special ceremony, they go back to the commands that God had given through David. Notice as we continue with Nehemiah, here we have wall dedication. Some of the priests' sons with the trumpets and the musical instruments of David, the man of God, still here 600 years later. Let's do what God said, the way God said. Finally, both the singers and the gatekeepers kept the charge of their God and the charge of the purification according to the command of David and Solomon, his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chiefs of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. You know, things have changed, though. These people have been in captivity. These people have had lots of different kinds of musical experiences. These people have been in Babylonia, and there are all kinds of instruments being played there. So when they get back, don't you think they'd want some more contemporary music? They may indeed have wanted that. But what we observe is they went back to the command of God through His prophet and played the instruments God said when and where, even though they may have personally and culturally been exposed to lots of different kinds of contemporary music. They never assumed they had authority to bring any other instruments into God's worship without a clear and divine command. So some principles then that we might observe. Musical instruments were a part of God's worship, and God directed it. The people of God continued to look back hundreds of years to what God had commanded through David in the Scriptures. And there's no indication, none given whatsoever, of other instruments brought into God's worship without a clear divine command. Advocates of mechanical instruments of music in the worship of the church claim that people may bring in any instrument they desire. And be alert, older folks. In your generation, it was, do we allow the piano or the organ? That is not the discussion today. It's the bigger, the badder, the louder, the more lights, the more fog machines, the more the rock band can entertain. If you're going to say it's okay to have the piano, young people recognize that it's just as right to have the electric guitar, synthesizer, and any other instrument that they want. Those arguments stand or fall together. And so during those years of captivity, Israel would have had lots of different exposure. And they were careful not to use any of those instruments of Babylon, but only the command by God through His prophets. The same principle then of temple worship restoration was observed regarding the restoring of the sacrifices. It wasn't just about what kind of music do we want? It was about what kind of sacrifice does God want? The same regulations that applied to their music also applied to their worship in the sacrifice. Why not change the sacrifice if we can change the music? And so as we think about those principles, watch how they're tied together then. In 2 Chronicles 23, Jehoiada had appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was established by David. I said 2 Chronicles, but I'm thinking that may be 1 Chronicles 23, so please check that in your notes. Let's go on. In 2 Chronicles 31, the king Hezekiah also appointed a portion of his possessions for the burnt offerings. No, it would have been 2 Chronicles. For the burnt offerings, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, the burnt offerings for the Sabbath and the new moons and the set feast, as it is written in the law of the Lord. When they offered the sacrifices, it was because it was the law of the Lord. Notice one more in Ezra 3 and verse 2. Then Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offering on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. So they're having to do it all, see. They're having to go back and say, okay, now how does God want us to worship? What does he want us to offer as sacrifices? And how does he want us to praise him? And the same rules and same regulations were applied whether it was the burnt offering or whether it was the instrumental music that was to be offered. It's as it is written in the law of the Lord, according to the word of the Lord by Moses, the man of God. So both sets of recurring phrases, those that relate to the sacrificial system and those with the instrumental music in worship, are remarkably similar. Just as these men look back to Moses, the man of God, for authority concerning sacrifices, they look back to David, the man of God, for authority concerning the use of instrumental music in worship. The divine authority concerning musical instruments was no less than the divine authority concerning the sacrifices. Both had been revealed by God through his prophets. Please note that the Jews then and now recognize the instruments of music were tied to the worship in the temple. And can I just take a brief... We're about finished. I just always thought that Jesus would have perhaps either played in the band or... No, I knew that wasn't right. That Jesus enjoyed the instruments of music in the synagogue. I just thought, you know, Jesus is growing up. I'm sure they have instruments in the synagogue because they had them in the temple. And then as I started asking Jewish people and referencing them and learning from Jewish people, what Jewish people will tell you is that from the beginning of synagogues, even into the synagogues today, never did they use instruments of music in synagogue worship. Instruments of music were for temple worship with the offering of the burnt offering. And so there was no instruments of music in first century synagogues. Never had been from the time when synagogues began, even till today. You can walk into a Jewish synagogue and you're not going to hear instruments of music being played, because the Jews understood that was God's regulation of music to be related to the temple worship with the sacrifice. So as we then conclude, the question for us is, will we look at the scriptures alone to govern our thinking in regard to musical instruments in worship? Or are we going to look to contemporary cultural reasoning? Bulletin has a lot of really helpful information in that regard. I also grew up thinking everybody used instruments of music forever. And that's a very recent observation. That until the 19th century, most religious groups in the United States never used instruments of music in their worship, for the same reasons we've described today. Once God has declared his will on any subject in the scripture, we have no right to think otherwise apart from further evidence from scripture. And so as we think about 1 Peter chapter 3, we think about what God has done for us in Jesus. Jesus is the sacrifice. We have as much right to disregard the precepts and precedent of Christ regarding what worship he approves as we do to disregard his sacrifice that he directs and as he tells us to remember it. Let me put that in simple terms. We have as much right to change the elements in the Lord's Supper as we do to change God's description about how we're to worship him in song. If we can change one, we are just as free to change the other. Christ's sacrifice is supreme, and Christ is King and has the right to tell us how He wants us to worship. So the question that hopefully we can consider in a future study is, what is the historical evidence regarding this public worship of God among His New Testament people? Jesus wants us to be saved. And it's the blood of Christ that makes that possible. And it's the Scriptures that remind us that just as God saved people through the water in the days of Noah, and corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected unto Him. Please speak to me about this, or our elders, if I've taught anything that's not true, or if you just assess that my attitude's been bad. Please speak to me about that. But I also plead with you, if what you're reading, if what you've seen today, go back and read for yourself. And if what you're reading is what's been presented, please recognize that just as in the Old Testament God regulated worship, God has not just turned us loose to do whatever we want in worship today. We must listen to King Jesus, and we must bow before Him and do what He wants. And that comes to coming to Him and then living for Him. If you're not in Christ, we invite you to come to Him on His terms, even now as we stand and sing.